always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ukrainian and European officials are angry they were left out of today's talks between the U.S. and Russia on ending the war in Ukraine.
I hear that, you know, they're upset about not having a seat. Well, they've had a seat for 3 years and a long time before that. This could have been settled very easily.
President Trump claims he could have made a deal giving Ukraine most of the land. Some southern and mid-Atlantic states are preparing for several inches of snow. This woman was picking up last-minute groceries in Springdale, Arkansas.
Everybody gets just a little bit anxious when they hear big snowstorm, and we handle it very well in the state of Arkansas, but we're also not quite as used to it as some other states.
At the CDC's headquarters in Atlanta today.
What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want? It?
Now!
Protesters rallied against the firings of 1,300 of the CDC's probationary workers. The Trump administration also sent termination notices to thousands of workers at the Food and Drug Administration and the National Institutes of Health. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Badgers host Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, it's Wisconsin against Illinois tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation after beating Purdue. Greg Gard says his team is better now at managing the shot clock.
That's important. I think it just shows the growth of this team. They couldn't make that play in October or November. They weren't accustomed, I think, to playing together as comfortable as they are right now.
We've learned that Marcus Sedbury is the new general manager of the Badgers football program. Sedbury has served as assistant athletic director at Wisconsin the past 3 years. He'll handle the players' and coaches' contracts. Baseball. Brewers left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortez is at spring training in Arizona, trying to learn everyone's name in the clubhouse after 5 years with the Yankees.
Yeah, the names are going to be tough. Obviously, being, you know, so many years in another organization, Gold Glove caliber defense, and as a pitcher, that's what you want, so I'm very excited for that.
That's Brewers pitcher Nestor Cortez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, lows 10 to 15 below, wind chills to 20 and 25 below. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, highs of 10 to 15 above. And with sunshine, we climb to the low 20s on Thursday and a warming trend into the weekend. Right now it's 3.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Jane has jury duty, but I, Greg Bach, am your host, and we have Pat Kreitlow at 10:30 and Sean Rowland, who is a Milwaukee County supervisor, talking about why he ran for office. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who loves the sin but hates the sinner, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Pete Schwabba. I will be manning the mic here for the next couple hours, hoping to make you feel better on a Tuesday, a winter Tuesday in Wisconsin, or as we like to say, since we light it up here every night, Conrad, Tuesday. See what I did there?
That was great.
You look like you're like embarrassed to laugh at that. And you know what? I've had about enough of your crap already, and we're only 30 seconds into the show. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good. You know, yesterday, I forgot who said it on the stream, but it is the dead of winter.
Yeah.
And it really feels like it.
It sure does. At least it was sunny today, but it's freezing. It's 8 degrees outside here in Green Bay. I hope it's a little warmer down south if you guys are Madison, Beloit, whatever. But man, it is, yeah, it's cold. And it's not too bad because like I run out to my car, I warm it up. I let it get warmed up for about 10 minutes before I leave. So when I get in the car, it's nice and toasty. But there's still that just chill in the air. It is really depressing. However, having said that, we're going to light it up here tonight, folks. It's great to have you with us. Hopefully we can warm your hearts with some comedy, some music. Got a great show for you tonight. My guest tonight, our comedian, Jim Flanagan. He will be here at 6:35. Very funny guy. Just a classic, really solid, good, kind of out of that Chicago mold. Irish-looking comedian, very funny, and I'm very excited to have Jim on the show. I've been trying to get him for a while, and we finally were able to figure out something so Jim could be here, and he will be here on the stream at 6:35. So very excited to meet Jim and talk to him a little bit about comedy and his career and what he's got coming up. And then at 7:20, the guy behind the guy, J.B. Thompson, introduced us to a guy named Jason Moon. Jason is a musician. He is a veteran of the Iraq War, and he founded a project called Warrior Songs. And I think his other foundation is called Arizona Warriors. But he teaches and encourages healing for veterans through music. And I'm very excited to talk to Jason. He's got a really interesting story. He himself, as I mentioned, was a veteran, was hurt in combat, I believe. And we're going to share some of his music too. It's outstanding. And he's going to tell us a little bit about what they do with Warrior Songs. So that's going to be fun. That's at 7:20. And this is kind of fun too. I'm very excited about tonight's question. We got a lot of activity last night with our Saturday Night Live question. But tonight, I noticed when I was just kind of putting the show together today that John Hughes passed away. Well, it's his birthday this week. He passed away in... was it 2009 already? This is going to bother me if I don't find this. He was only 59 years old, and he is just such a prolific writer-director, and he, 2009, he was only 59 years old when he died, and he has blessed our lives with his great films. I grew up on John Hughes movies, and that leads us to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite John Hughes movie? You know the films, we grew up with them. 16 Candles. She's Having a Baby, Mr. Mom, Vacation. We can even throw Home Alone in there because I think he wrote Home Alone, but did not direct it. Yeah.
Oh.
The guy has done everything. The Great Outdoors, Uncle Buck, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. Okay, whatever. Weird Science.
Oh, come on. I love that movie.
I know you love that movie. 16 Candles, as I mentioned. What else do we got here? Vacation might be my favorite. He also wrote Christmas Vacation.
There's just one in there that I think sticks out.
Home Alone 2?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Automobiles.
There we go.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yes. Pretty in Pink. It's interesting. I would have to say, did I say The Breakfast Club? I would have to say Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, in my opinion, is probably his best movie from a perfection standpoint. But personally, I don't know. I might have to say Ferris Bueller's Day Off or Vacation.
It has. So, okay. Remember how I was talking about the worst Home Alone I seen was the last one they came out with?
Yeah.
Home Sweet Home Alone. It says that he was actually a writer on it. But it didn't come out until 2021.
Well, sometimes you get like written by credit if you created the initial.
Okay.
Like when Greg Liana, when we've had him on, he still gets credit for Meet the Parents, even though he hasn't worked on the scripts because he created the whole thing. So that's probably what's happening there with John Hughes.
It does say that Mikey Day wrote that too. So
really, Beavis?
That's make some better films, Mikey Day.
Yeah. There are some that are forgettable. I thought Pretty in Pink was just okay. Some Kind of Wonderful I saw once. I thought it was kind of forgettable, but even his forgettable or decent movies, 2.5-star movies, are better than some of the stuff they put out now. But I would have to say his best film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. My personal favorite, it's a tie between Ferris Bueller and Vacation.
I loved Uncle Buck, though, too.
Yeah, a lot of people do. It's a good film.
Such a good film. Vacation is definitely up there, too, though.
But what would you say your favorite is? Uncle Buck?
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation. Okay.
Because I go to that movie every Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, there's so many to choose from. I mean, the guy has just had this incredible career. And in the Beats tomorrow coming out, 16 Candles turned 40 this weekend. Over last weekend, I should say.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and it was supposed to be shot as a $1 million film in Chicago independently in 1982, and then it gained some traction. He sold a couple other films, and before you know it, I think it was The Breakfast Club I'm talking about.
Yes.
The Breakfast Club turned 40. And the next thing you know, he's John Hughes, and he's putting all these movies into production. He became a legend. And most of them, I would say, if not all, were shot in and around Chicago, right here in the Midwest. Vacation, obviously, they went on the road, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but such a prolific talent, writing and directing. That is our question of the night, folks. What is your favorite John Hughes film? Could be something he wrote, directed. There's no right answers. There are only your answers, and we will read them on the radio happily. Let's have fun with this one because it's a great, you got a lot to choose from. As I mentioned, Some Kind of Wonderful, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Vacation, Christmas Vacation, both of the first Home Alones, and Conrad said the fourth?
The fifth, actually.
The fifth.
It has his name attached to it, but let's hope he's not.
I would be surprised anyone.
Yeah, let's all he's connected to all the Home Alones.
All the Home Alones. He created it.
Yeah.
The Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, Some Kind of Wonderful, It says 16 candles.
He made Drillbit Taylor.
Is that true?
It's on his movie list.
I'm not going to put that on my favorites, but Uncle Buck. It's a funny movie. He was still making movies. I mean, Weird Science, even. I forgot about Weird Science.
Flubber?
He made that one, too?
I didn't know that.
I've got a list here of, like, his top 15. Here's The Great Outdoors.
Yes.
Funny one.
Yes. I actually watched that over this weekend because it was just on.
Mr. Mom could be one of... I would say Mr. Mom is one of his better films. Maybe not the funniest, although it's very funny. Michael Keaton's hilarious in it. Martin Mull. Terry Garr. But that's a really solid movie. She's Having a Baby is a good movie about people, Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth Montgomery, about to be parents for the first time. Alec Baldwin did a great cameo in that. So let us know what your favorite John Hughes movie is, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. So easy to use. The Civic Media app is a piece of cake. Click on any one of the stations because we are on statewide and just click the little text icon and fire away and let us know what you think. You can also text on the stream, YouTube, Facebook. Am I getting everything, Conrad?
YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter.
X, Twitter. The X Twitter.
The X Twitter,
that
yes.
Makes sense. And let us know. Also, the phone lines are open, folks. You're welcome to give us a call. Tell us what you think. It's always more fun when you guys participate. So that is our show for tonight. We got a lot of stuff going on. There's this is so creepy. I saw this and I wrote a beat about this for tomorrow in the Hollywood Beats. Guy Pearce, one of my favorite actors, he's nominated this year for a Best Supporting Actor Oscar for The Brutalist. It says Kevin Spacey harassed him on the set of L.A. Confidential, one of my all-time favorite movies. Guy Pearce is brilliant in it. Kevin Spacey's good in it. It was really hard to read this stuff about Kevin Spacey when it first came out. But now Guy Pearce is saying Spacey was aggressive with him and harassed him on the set. Didn't assault him, but was very aggressive. And he was in a position of power, and Pearce downplayed it. But Guy Pearce also said when all these accusations came out, like in 2017, he heard all these people coming forward and he sobbed, thinking about all these other people going through what he went through. Guy Pearce also told his wife that he liked going to the set on days when Simon Baker was there because Kevin Spacey, would turn his attentions to Simon Baker. How sad is that? I mean, you're part of one of the greatest films, in my opinion, ever made. Just all aspects of movie making there. Script, direction, acting, sets, a period piece, just a great soundtrack. And you're trying to avoid this creep. The experience is not even great for you because of Kevin Spacey. It's so horrible. And that was part of the Me Too movement, I guess, is when all that came out too. But I just read that last night, and it kind of just made me sad because I'm like, what a cool film to be a part of, and then you don't even get to enjoy it. What do you think about the no-shows at the Saturday Night Live thing that came out?
I wonder why Bill Hader just said, no, I'm good.
It is weird. I mean, if like half the people said no thanks, I get it. But almost everybody went that was invited except Aykroyd, Bill Hader, and Dana Carvey. And Bill, Colin Quinn.
Bill was part of it for a while, too, so I'm surprised he didn't.
Something like 10 years or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a surprise. And they're not giving excuses. They're just saying, no, I didn't want to go. Okay.
All right.
Who am I to argue with that? All right. When we come back, we're going to hear some of Jim Flanagan's comedy, and we'll read your text. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
1, 2, 3, 4!
What is your favorite John Hughes movie? That is tonight's question of the night. It is John Hughes' birthday today. I said, I think his best movie is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I think it's almost a perfect film. My favorites, however, well, that probably is my favorite. But if I had to go a tied for a second, I'd go Ferris Bueller and Vacation. Conrad says Uncle Buck and Christmas Vacation. So we've got some variety going here. Let us know what your favorite John Hughes film is, though. Dan Schaefer, that is such a great ad. I love that music he uses. Yeah. I always think it's going to be the Cranberries. And then it kind of diverges and goes this way. But remember when he was on the show, his favorite show is The Wire. And Dan and I were going to do a breakdown of The Wire. So let's not forget to do that. We got to have him on. And we'll do like, we could do like 45 minutes just on The Wire. Because I know he's as big a fan as I am. Maybe even bigger. Our text lines and phone lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Flanagan, comedian from Chicago, will be here at 6:35. We'll be talking about Jim's career a little bit, and we'll hear some of his comedy in just a few minutes. We've got text line, phone lines open. Sherry from Horicon says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Good evening, Sherry. We haven't heard from Sherry in a while.
I was thinking that.
What did you do? Did you piss her off or something?
I don't think so.
No? Okay. She's very temperamental. She's not temperamental.
I'm sorry, Sherry, if I did anything to offend you.
I'm sorry if Conrad did anything. Tom from Los Angeles says Sully and Lambo. Am I missing something there? Favorite John Hughes films? I don't know what that is, Tom. Maybe I got, he says, and this is Lombardi. Am I reading the wrong text again? I've done that before.
I think he was showing his dog if you go one below.
Oh.
Picture of his dog.
Gorgeous doggy, Tom. I love it. That's a great name. Sully and Lambo. He's just sharing his dogs. That's great. But folks, you can share with us whatever is going on. I just want to make sure I was getting the context of the text right and that I wasn't reading that like it was a John Hughes film. Thank you, Tom, for the text. Sherry says, Mr. Mom. Yeah, great film. Really solid film. She says, there are way too many. I agree, Sherry. Annie from Watertown says, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Excellent choice, Annie. Anna from Madison. Hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite John Hughes movie is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I love that movie. She even threw in the little emojis, the plane and the train and the automobile. She must have had to dig for those because, like, when I want to use a different emoji like that, I have to scroll. It takes me like 8 minutes. So I appreciate the effort, Anna. Thank you. From the 608, this could be the toughest question so far. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is mine. Yeah, it's tough to disagree with that 608. Monica from Mount Horeb says, I think I like them all, but Christmas Vacation and Vacation. Still laugh at the squirrel in the Christmas tree and dead grandma. You know, the first time I saw the dead grandma on the station wagon, I didn't even laugh that hard when I was a kid because I thought, I just didn't really buy it. I'm like, come on. But as I got older, she is so annoying. And it makes sense that they wouldn't want a dead person in the car with the kids. I totally buy that now. Isn't that weird?
It
somehow has become more plausible to me over the years. Great text, Monica. Thank you. Eric from Lodi says, I've got to say National Lampoon's Vacation because my family was both the Griswolds and Cousin Eddie's family at various times growing up. Everyone's favorite line from Cousin Eddie and my family was, let's go find your sister. Pretty creepy. Eric also says, but Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a masterclass in buddy road movies. I agree. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, my wife and I just call it PTA, and Midnight Run, two of my favorite road movies. Anna from Madison says, Pete, I didn't see Joe Piscopo at the SNL 50th show either. He did a great Sinatra impression. That's right, he did. I don't know how popular he was, though, Anna, and I don't have any inside knowledge. I just remember rumblings that he was difficult to work with, so maybe they didn't invite him, but I don't know. Eric from Lodi says, my wife and I took a trip to South Dakota a couple of years ago and an homage to Vacation stopped at every tourist trap we could find on the way out there. That's part of the fun. Oh, that he said, is that him? Has he sent a picture? Is that Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a corn cob with a face on it.
Yeah, that's definitely a tourist trap. That's awesome. Thank you, Eric, for the photo too. Brian from Milwaukee says, John Hughes wrote the National Lampoon films, Class Reunion, Vacation, European Vacation, Christmas Vacation. That's right. I forgot about Class Reunion. Great text, everybody. These are fantastic. All right. So our guest in just a few minutes, I want to get this clip in before we bring Jim on because it's great stand-up. He's a very talented stand-up comedian. And here is a sample of his comedy. This was shot at Zany's, I believe, fairly recently. But let's hear some Jim Flanagan, Conrad.
One of my hobbies last year, this is a real thing that happened to me. I was riding a bike. I went out for my first bike ride on a brand new bike, and I got hit by a car. Okay? I'm fine now, unless any of you work for State Farm Insurance. And if you do, I'm still under continuing doctor supervision. We're working through a few things on the back end. The person who hit me, she was so nice. She waited for help to arrive, but just kept saying the same thing over and over and kept just going, I just didn't see you there. I just didn't see you there. And eventually I wanted to help. So I was like, hey, listen, you don't need to say that part. I know you didn't see me there. That's implied. You not seeing me there is the basis of our whole conversation. I can't even imagine a scenario where you saw me, hit me with your car, and then came over to talk about it. I just don't even know what that would look like, you know? You're just kicking around the debris, and you're like, oh, hey, you made it. All right, I should probably explain a few things. I saw you there, I did. And I got mad, you know? So I was just like, we got to get rid of him. So I drove as fast as I could. And if I see you again, I'm going to keep trying. I really want to finish the job.
Great stuff. That's Jim Flanagan. He'll be here after the news at 6:35. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite John Hughes film? It's his birthday today. He passed away in 2009. I cannot believe he died that long ago. It does not seem like, I remember getting that news and being kind of shocked. Jim from Kenosha says, I'm with Conrad, Uncle Buck, but they are all great. Thank you, Jim. Brian from Milwaukee, he added something else to his previous text. He said, we watch the Christmas one as a family every Christmas.
Same
here, Brian. What's the other? Oh, on the stream we got Jim Denny checking in. Says, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, though they all are great, hilarious movies. He's brought a lot of joy to our life, folks. We're going to bring a little more joy to your life after the news with comedian Jim Flanagan. That's coming up. Jason Moon, Warrior Songs. We're going to talk about veterans healing through music at 7:20. And we'll be reading your texts all night. Chime in. Let us know how you're feeling, Wisconsin. It is great to have you with me on this Tuesday. Fuse Day, as we call it, because we're lighting it up. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Open up your heart. Let's come together.
Naturally Grown Radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer to the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it! Sam Decker, and it's career win number 200 for head coach Greg Gard. Snaps off another three. Booked it! Oh my goodness! Don't wake him up! Greg Kaminsky, a single game school record, 43 points. I can't believe I'm going to say it, but here it comes. The Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Badger basketball is on the air. Today's game is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. And by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Welcome to the Badger Shoot Around.
From the Kohl Center in Madison, the Badgers finally back home after a stretch of 6 of 8 games on the road, but they fared well overall away from the Kohl Center. Now tonight they begin a 3-game homestand. The Badgers have won 4 straight, 12 of their last 14, taking on the Illinois Fighting Illini. They have split their last 12 games, but a 9-game winning streak Illinois has over Wisconsin in the series. Badgers trying to take down the Illini for the first time since 2019. We'll hear from Jack Janicki in our pregame show, coming off that 11-point performance on Saturday and the Badgers' big win at Purdue. We'll check in with head coach Greg Gard, but coming up, we'll hear from Jesse Temple of The Athletic as we get you ready for the Badgers and Illinois here at the Kohl Center. And we'll get things started in just a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The Badgers.
Seeds Max, face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fade.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's the Badgers and the Illinois Fighting Illini. Wisconsin trying to beat Illinois. It has been 6 years to the day, February 18, 2019, when the Badgers knocked off Illinois, trying to end that streak. That's about the only negative there is going right now for Wisconsin, as we are joined by Jesse Temple of The Athletic. And we have talked multiple times, Jesse, on this segment, and I'm sure you have when you've written about it and your other platforms. And this team does have depth. I mean, John Tanjay was terrific. Jack Janicki, it's not the first time that he has stepped up against a big-time opponent. He had 9 points 3 months ago in the game against Arizona, and he drops in 11. A lot of sources, though. Again, you hear that old line, team win. You always wonder, what does that mean? Well, maybe Saturday was an example of that.
This has to be one of the finest road performances I can remember from Wisconsin, and certainly they've had some good wins on the road, but to go to a place like Mackey Arena and beat a Purdue team that's in the top 10 while shooting 61.5% from the field and committing just 3 turnovers is an all-timer. That's why you almost never see that happen for any team in college basketball, and it really speaks to why this Wisconsin team has a chance to be special, because you're right, Matt. John Tanjay had a great game with 32 points, but one man alone can't carry a team, and if you're going to score 94, it's going to take everybody.
Their ability to deal with the Kamari McGee ejection, and that has obviously been talked about quite a bit over the last couple of days, but Janicki stepping up. I thought John Blackwell, he had a quiet first half, had the 2 fouls, so sat for a good chunk of the first half. He has 11 in the second half. Max Klesman, people would be surprised to hear this because he hasn't shot the 3 nearly as well this season as he has in prior years at Wisconsin. He's still averaging a little bit more points per game than he did last year. He's finding some different ways to score, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the thing about Max. He's not going to stop shooting if he misses a handful of threes. And yes, he only made 1 of 6 threes against Purdue, but he was able to get inside the paint. And that's why he ended up shooting 5 for 10 from the field, because he made all of his 2-point shots. And he is able to get to the line, where he's an excellent free throw shooter. So Max deserves a lot of credit for not pouting just because the 3-point shots aren't falling. He's been around the block, and so he knows that it takes a lot of different components to be a successful player. But you're right, all these guys are contributing. Jack Janicki going off for 11 and hitting 3 threes in a moment like that. You absolutely needed all those points down the stretch, and he delivered.
Purdue also had really impressive offensive statistics. Trey Kaufman-Wren was outstanding, but I thought, you know, for a guy who had 12 assists, 1 turnover, like Braden Smith had, he didn't shoot it very well. It seemed to me that Wisconsin did a pretty good job against him, mixed it up a little bit. You know, Janicki trying to use his length a little bit. You know, you're going to have games where the shots aren't falling, but it seemed to me that Wisconsin did a pretty good job against him. Would you agree?
I would. Even if you look at the line and see that he had 12 assists and just 1 turnover, most of those assists were in the first half when Purdue was making a run. Boilermakers had a small lead at the half, and he only makes 2 of 10 from the field. Now, we know that he's capable of scoring in a variety of ways, but Wisconsin made it extremely difficult for him. And of course, it's going to take everybody else for Purdue to win. But Braden Smith's a very special player. Wisconsin just deserves a lot of credit across the board, because this wasn't a game where Purdue was able to score pretty well. When you make more than 50% of your shots at home, you should be able to win. And when you only turn the ball over 4 times, but that speaks to why Wisconsin has this supercharged offense, because you have to have that kind of skill set to be able to win games like this.
I mentioned the streak that Illinois has against Wisconsin, and you know, a lot of these guys didn't have a whole lot to do with a good chunk of these. Now, some of these guys have been around for a lot of it, Gilmore, Crowell, et cetera. But Illinois is 6-6 over its last 12, and many people, including Brian Butch and many others, and I can't disagree, would tell you that when right, Illinois is probably the most talented team in the Big Ten, but they've had a lot of trouble keeping guys healthy. Now they have Maurice Johnson out with a broken wrist. But are you in alignment there that when right, Illinois can be certainly as good as anybody in this league and can play with anybody nationally?
Yeah, well, we saw it in December when these two teams played. Obviously, they're different teams now, but Illinois won that game 86-80, and you saw what can make the Illini so dangerous in this league. They've certainly been scuffling a bit. They're coming off a loss to Michigan State, but There's the reason why Illinois has won for six straight years against Wisconsin, is because the Illini are a very good program. Now, Wisconsin being on the rise, this is a moment I feel like they definitely need to take advantage of, because now they're trending to a three seed and potentially a spot in Milwaukee in the NCAA tournament, but you've got to protect your home court, and Illinois is certainly capable of coming in here and knocking off the Badgers.
Yeah, it's an intangible question. We always talk a lot in sports, coaches all the time, how a team handles the adversity. Now it's like, okay, how do you handle the attention? Because albeit Wisconsin's been a pretty good team this season. So you go into Mackey Arena and win the way they did, and now the national eyes are on you more. I'm fascinated to see how this group this year is going to handle that. Do you view it the same way?
Yeah, they've been under the radar the entire season. That's what happens when you're picked before the year to finish in a tie for 12th in the 18-team Big Ten. But then you go and you win a game on national TV and all the pundits are watching and they realize, oh, hey, this Wisconsin team is a little bit different, way better than what we thought. But I think the one good thing about having a coach like Greg Gard is he will keep you insulated. He understands what's going on the outside. But it's a day-to-day, game-to-game, just like it was with Bo Ryan, because if you're not prepared on this given day, you're going to lose. And all that attention you just got is very quickly going to fade away.
Yeah, that's how it works. He's Jesse Temple of The Athletic. We have more to come. We'll check in with Jack Janicki on our Badger Spotlight. It's coming up next. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Jones Dairy Farm sausage is made with all natural ingredients and packed with protein. It's a great way to start the day, have for lunch or dinner, or for snacking in between. Our all-natural sausage, dry-aged bacon, and fully cooked meatballs heat up fast and easy on the stovetop or in an air fryer, or even on a tailgate grill. Jones has been making breakfast and lunch and dinner better since 1889, and we're a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Go Badgers!
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it, because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024, U.S. Bank.
The big game. Family. Friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way, you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/PoweringBeyond.
Hey, Badger fans. Basketball season is here, and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Our pregame coverage continues. Time for tonight's Badger Spotlight as we check in with redshirt freshman guard Jack Janicki. You'll remember he scored 9 points in that big early season win against Arizona, so it's not the first time that he has had extended minutes in the bright lights.
He was certainly ready for the moment on Saturday in West Lafayette after Kamari McGee was assessed a flagrant two with a little more than 6 minutes left in the first half. So up stepped Jack Janicki with a career-best 11 points, hitting three threes, and also had the assignment, among others, of trying to check Braden Smith, a guy who many consider to be the front-runner for Big Ten Player of the Year. Now, Smith had a lot of assists and just one turnover, but he didn't shoot it particularly well. It was a group effort, to be sure, but Jack was certainly up to the task. And much like I asked Carter Gilmore after his big game against Northwestern a couple of weeks ago, I asked Jack what his world has been like and how much that phone was buzzing after the game at Mackey Arena on Saturday.
You know, you try and limit your screen time as much as you can after any game, but obviously it was nice to see the texts from people that matter, you know, parents, sisters, people that have been with me for a long time, and coaches and family like that. But, you know, outside of that, you celebrate what you need to celebrate, which is who got you here and what got you here. And then other than that, it's just all gravy, and we got to focus on bigger things.
Yeah, it's probably important to remind folks, too, because I think a lot of fans are really getting into college basketball now, but this isn't the first time that you've done this, mm-hmm. right? The Arizona game.
Yeah.
And so having done it already, and we know we talked several weeks ago yeah. that you felt about this time last year, like, hey, this is really starting to click for me. But having done it against Arizona probably didn't hurt, right? The confidence being out there.
No, I think our coaches have touched on it, and I think most of my confidence comes from being able to do things in practice, because that's the only opportunity that you're guaranteed every day. And, you know, the Arizona game was a good start for the season, and then obviously with what happened with Kill at Purdue, it just sort of made my role even more highlighted in a game like that. So I was just happy that I could step in his shoes and help the team win.
The shooting makes the highlights, but you're in there, you're up against Braden Smith, mm-hmm. who's one of the best mm-hmm. players in the conference. And
yeah.
give us a sense of where you feel you have come along on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he is a very good player, and he was still able to be so effective in how he got his teammates involved. But, you know, as a team, we were really trying to dial in on him, because he's what makes them tick. And I think, you know, throwing a lot of different guys at him, whether it be John, who did a great job, and Killer, who did a great job for the brief moments he was in, it helped us sort of throw bodies at him and maybe get him a little fatigued, even though that's not really what he does. And then, even more important, I think our bigs did a great job helping out the guards in a lot of ball screen situations, just sort of making him be a little bit more passive. And yeah, our game plan by the bigs and the coaches was executed greatly. And then, you know, the guards just staying energetic and into the ball. We were able to sort of keep him at bay, and obviously helped us get the win.
When we talked a few weeks ago earlier in the season, you had mentioned, and your teammates have mentioned it as well, is that, you know, the desire to continue to get better defensively. I asked Coach Gard about it last week, and you guys got new faces. You know, if it's transfers, newer guys, so it probably made sense that it took a little time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this year has been dominated by our offense in terms of, you know, what we've done and what people think of us. But I think at the same time, our defense has gotten so much better, just as even if you think about the UCLA game we had at the beginning of the month, which now seems like forever ago. I just think the ability for our coaching staff to, you know, point out some shortcomings in our defense, and then more importantly, the ability for our guys to be mature enough and work on those things. As we continue to get better on defense, it just makes us more dangerous, because our defense can lead to our offense. So yeah, it's definitely been a point of emphasis. Just, you know, keep scoring, and then getting more stops will actually help us on offense as well.
You mentioned, you use the word mature, and that's what I think of when I watch all of you guys. Now, you have a lot of seniors. You're a redshirt freshman, but there's a poise, particularly in that environment you just played in, and the stakes are going to continue to go up. But watching a game, people can get nervous. When you're out there, you seem like you guys are really locked
I think the
in.
Least nervous people are the five that are on the court.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's by no accident. And it doesn't just, you know, that type of maturity isn't born, you know, on Mackey. It's day in, day out, you know, just looking at guys like Nolan or guys like Dan or anyone on our team who continues to stay in after practice. You know, that's maturity. Guys that come into practice and, you know, pay attention to scout and pay attention to what the coaches are saying, that's maturity. And then when you get into a game setting, you just sort of continue to fall on the pillars of trust and maturity that you've built the whole season. And, you know, going into the seventh best team's place and winning is, it sounds like, well, like kind of a feat, but it's just sort of the culmination of a lot of little things that our guys do day in, day out.
Well, clearly you guys as a team are capturing the attention of more and more people.
Yeah.
But the most important thing, you guys in the locker room, how much fun are you guys having right now?
Man, this is a lot of fun. Like, it was fun last year, and I was wearing sweats and sweatshirts the whole time. And as the weather starts, the weather is not getting any warmer, but as the weather starts to hopefully get a little bit warmer and March shows up on the calendar, I mean, if you're not motivated to come in and practice, you're not motivated to come in and play, you kind of question how much you love basketball. So yeah, I think we're having a lot of fun, and I think the fun's only beginning.
Confirm this for me, because there's always this line, what comes first, the winning leads to the fun or the fun leads to the winning? I think with you guys, it's the fun leading to the winning, and you're enjoying it, or am
I think what gets you to winning is not always fun, but once the game starts, like practice is really like, practices should be harder than the games, and that's what I've felt since I've been here. And the games are the fun part. And, you know, we've played 25 this year. We're 20-5. Every game has been fun and competitive, and that's what you sign up for when you come to play college sports. And it's been so much fun, and we got a lot in front of us, and we got two big tournaments that we know we want to do well in. So it's just about continuing to come in, yeah, and work hard, and naturally the fun will come because we continue to score a lot of points and win a lot of games.
That's Badgers guard Jack Janicki, and that's tonight's Badgers Spotlight. Stay with us. We'll continue with a look at the Badger Notebook as our pregame coverage continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media Station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Our pregame coverage continues at the Kohl Center, Wisconsin and Illinois tonight. They've hit halftime at the Breslin Center, Purdue and Michigan State. Big-time matchup there with the Spartans leading the Boilermakers 33-31. Later tonight, out in L.A., UCLA will host Minnesota. Well, we'll talk with Greg Gard about it. I think we've got a pretty good atmosphere here in the building. Tip-off, by the way, will be 7:45 tonight.
I knew I didn't like Dan Hurley.
Yeah, I mean, thank UConn and Villanova for that. So yeah, a little less than an hour away from the opening tip. But, as I was saying, I think we're going to have a pretty good atmosphere here tonight. It's been a couple weeks since the Badgers have been on the home floor. And look at them. They've won 4 in a row, 12 of 14. They're in the mix. They're scoring 94 points at Purdue, just like everybody predicted. It's a fun time of year, Butchie. We talk about, you know, it's the dog days, and then you look up like, oh,
we're less than a month from Selection Sunday, and you got a team right here that is, who knows, on a path for a pretty good seed and maybe a favorable location. A lot of work to do,
but they're
on a path.
There's no question about it. And it's funny because we had a chance to talk with Greg during my morning show. He jumped on with us, I think it was Tuesday or Monday morning. And I said, Coach, you know, there's a lot of new people that are coming along and that are, you know, watch you guys for the first time. And, hey, we welcome all. And Coach right away goes, well, shame on them. They should be. I said, you know what? Yeah, it's about time. You're right. Shame on them is right. There's no question. College basketball always delivers. You just got to pay attention
just
to it.
Come on board. Come on. We have room for you.
But it's been great. The way that this group has played, obviously they're scoring the ball more. They're doing more, you know, more things, shoot more threes, making more threes. All that's in play. But to me, they've raised up to the level of every game. When you look at their game and the games they've played, there's not a single bad loss.
No, they're all quad ones.
And you can't say that throughout college basketball. As far as where they're at, I don't think they get enough credit for that. Now, nationally, they're starting to get more credit. People are talking about what they're doing. But this is a whole season where they've just gone in, and the games they're supposed to win, they have. They've been in tight games where you're talking about a couple of possessions in Maryland, a couple of possessions against the Illini there on the road. Like, all of a sudden it changes, but they've done it the right way. And they've gotten – the thing that I'm most impressed with is they've gotten better on the defensive end. They've gotten better, and they've slowly started to do that. Offensively, they've been clicking for a while.
Yeah, and it makes sense that it would take some time on that end of the floor with the newcomers, be they, you know, guys new to the rotation, you know, who were in the program last year, new to the rotation. Then you get guys like John Tanjay and Xavier Amos. But, yeah, they're sitting, what, fourth in adjusted defensive efficiency in conference play are the Badgers. So they have done a nice job in that regard. And they've just got different guys who can hurt you. Tanjay, we know about. Certainly an all Big Ten caliber kind of player. And, you know, who knows beyond that. But, you know, you get John Blackwell, who did not score in the first half, had 2 fouls at Purdue and ends up with 11. Jack Janicki doing his thing. Max Klesman. You know, Max is actually a little bit ahead in points per game than where he was last year, which I'm guessing surprises people because it hasn't been because of his three-point shooting, but he can score in different ways, including attacking the basket and getting to the free throw line.
And I've talked about this. There has been games by, I think, 9 different guys. Jack Janicki was against Purdue. Look at Carter Gilmore. That was against Northwestern. Even Max, people say, what game was it, Max? Well, Montana State, they don't beat Montana State if Max doesn't go for 25.
Yeah.
Right? Like Stephen Kroll, Butler, I know he's been, but like he dominated that Butler game. Like every one of these guys, John, Carter, Kamari, I look at Kamari, that Rutgers game, if he doesn't hit that shot at the end of the half to change the momentum of that game, I think they could have very easily switched. He brought great energy in that game. So I look at that, and Nolan Winter, he's had games. John Blackwell, he's had, like, there's been 9 different guys that have, at some point, has stepped up and taken over a game to give this team enough momentum to finish and close out a win. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
No, the depth here is impressive.
Here's my question. We've heard this over the last couple of days. This is the most talented team or the best team since 14-15. Did 14-15 have this much depth? I can't remember. I was playing somewhere in Dubai.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, Koenig had to step in with Trey Jackson
went
up.
So, yeah.
You had Duye Duke and Zach Showalter.
Yep, Showy.
There was productive depth. But but that team had 2 first-round draft picks.
Correct.
I don't think that's necessarily the case
with
this team. They're different. They're different teams. I think where they are similar, Butchie, in that there is productive depth off the bench. I didn't even mention Kamari McGee.
Yeah.
You know, obviously with this year's team, with what he could do. And and they've had a lot of teams like this, but that 14-15 team kind of set the standard for goofballs, you know, in a good way.
In a good way,
and,
correct.
And these guys have a goofiness to them as well. You know, maybe not quite to that volume, but, you know, you get a guy like Carter Gilmore, likes to laugh, likes to have fun, Kamari McGee, and it's a good mix where these guys seem to enjoy each other's company off the floor as well as playing with one another on the floor.
And I think you see that with the comments by Greg Gard afterwards against the Purdue game. He goes, In the huddles, I barely had to talk. Yeah. When you like each other, you can coach each other too. Like when someone comes, and I was part of some pretty good teams. There's plenty of times where Joe Kravnow said, "Butch, what are you doing?" And then I'd go back two games later, "Joe, what are you doing? Get over this," like, or whatever it might be, or Sharif yelling at me, whatever it was. Like, when you're, as players, feel comfortable enough with the guy next to you that you can get after him a little bit,
yeah,
that's when you have your success.
And it seems like I've had this chat with, if it's Joe or you know, other guys too, as long in this world that we're in college athletics, as long as you got enough of those core guys that can, like, to the newcomers, you might score 30 points, but, hey, we need you to help us get a stop here.
Absolutely.
And when it comes from, I mean, you lived it, and I observe it, but when you get a teammate telling you that, there's some volume to it.
There's nothing worse than when you got a guy that's on you, and all of a sudden you miss the assignment, you got to look at him, you say, "I didn't get it done." Like, there's nothing worse than that. That's one of the worst feelings there is in the world. When you look at your teammates and say, "I just didn't get the job done."
Did you admit you didn't like to play defense?
Well, they all knew that. Come on.
You didn't have to admit it.
Well, right. Many times it was, "Butch, you stop shooting and guard somebody." I'm like, "Sorry, Joe. Sorry, Steve's. I apologize."
You should have said, "Yeah, I gave up two. I just hit a three.
I tried. But nowadays that's okay. Back then it was like, "No, we don't want to do that." The analytics, there just wasn't enough analytics back then.
Yeah, I'll go back.
Maybe I do like analytics. Maybe I would have liked it a little bit more.
You're plus one. That works out. And, yeah, you guys did win a lot of games in a short period of time, I might add. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 for an ID. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W240 Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the